This is the Friday, July 5th, 2019 version of the Market Analysis segment from Market to Market. Even with uncertainty over acres and the hope of progress in the ongoing trade war with China, the grain markets were mixed. For the week, September wheat dropped 12 cents while the nearby corn contract bumped 14 cents higher. USDA is concerned their numbers don't reflect what's really out there, countered optimism over progress in Chinese trade talks. The August soybean contract plummeted 29 cents. August meal lost $9.50 per ton. December cotton gained 74 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, August Class 3 milk futures added 33 cents. Livestock was in the green. August cattle put on 265. August feeders expanded $1.98. And the August lean hog contract rose $1.05. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index flew 118 ticks higher. August crude oil shed 22 cents per barrel. COMEX gold dropped 11.10, and the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index lost half a point to finish at 4.23 even. Joining us now to offer insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Don Rose. Don, welcome back.
Great to be back. Thank you.
Happy late 4th of July to you. I know you've got some patriotic colors on there today. We can talk about that a little more in Market Plus. But Don, we had a holiday shortened week this week. Tell me what happened here in the aftermath of last Friday's report, which shocked the trade.
Well, last week's report was a shocker last Friday and, you know, really put the market down 25 cents down the limit on corn at one time. The trade instantly didn't believe the numbers, but I'm here to tell you that you have to really trade the numbers, whether you believe them or not. Then we came back a carryover into this week on some selling. But then as we hit the end of the week, holiday, we had some evening up and we ended the week higher. So I think when you look at it, it's a market that wants to believe that the numbers aren't right. But at the same time, the crop conditions are probably improving on corn and soybeans. So you're in kind of a trading range market.
Okay, let's talk about the crop conditions when you look at the winter wheat. We've seen only 30% of that crop harvested. Usually this time it's nearly 50% on average. Will this add a little bit of premium into the market?
Well, the crop ratings actually went up last week, which is really seasonally, you just don't do that. As you mature, you usually go the other way. I think what that really says is the yields are probably bigger than you think. And that's really the report that we're getting is the massive yields. Even on grazed wheat, we've had some big yields. So I think when you look at it, we're probably this next week, we're probably going to be close to 40-45% harvested. And a lot of wheat coming at us, you know, hard red winter wheat, you know, just amazing. It's running at a discount, 65, 70 cents to soft red wheat with the issues with the wet weather and the soft wheat, but big premium difference.
Okay, big premium difference. Don, let's talk now about the corn markets. July 3rd, we saw a pretty good recovery from that report you mentioned last Friday. Why did we see that happen on Wednesday?
Well, I think when you really look at it, we had a 53-cent break on corn in just very short order. And overall, the fundamentals on the corn market, the trade is very mixed. Not sure really what we have. The range has run from a 1.1 billion carryout, a billion carryout, all the way up to 2 billion. Probably in the Thursday report that's coming up July 11th, it's probably going to be a bit of a bearish because the WASDE is going to use the NAS numbers. Remember, there's a real confusion. WASDE took corn acres in the June report down 3 million. Then NAS came out with the June plantings and they took it down just 1.1 million acres. But overall, I think what you have, Delaney, really is a wide swinging market. You get down to 420, you start to see end user buying went to 420 and a half this week and scale down buying just because of the uncertainties that we have from end user. But then fundamentals are actually a bit negative on corn if you believe the numbers, which I think you have to trade. You know, you get up around 450 and higher, it's really a tough sled again to the upside. So I'd call it a range-bound market, 410, 420 on the downside, 445, 455 on the upside. And I think we're going to be pushing back and forth in that, watching the crop ratings as we go forward for better direction. We're going to resurvey these acres again for the August 11th report. So you're going to keep the trade increasingly nervous. And then if you look at the lateness of the corn crop, just incredibly late. I don't think we've ever had one this late. So you're going to have to beat the frost scare as we get close to the fall.
Absolutely, Don. The other thing I wanted to ask you about here was cash has remained relatively strong. I've seen on Twitter this week guys have said basis has been really strong. Really, it looked like across the Corn Belt. Why is cash remaining so strong with these acre numbers that we've seen, and they're not maybe listening to those numbers, as you mentioned they should?
Well, I think what you really have in the U.S. is you have a domestic issue. There's no shortage of grain or no shortage of corn in the world market. It's really domestic only. And so what that means is you're going to have regional shortages of corn, particularly over in the eastern Corn Belt. You know, we have 70-cent overs already at some of these ethanol plants. And what happens with the market, typically you push up. We're going to have dislocated corn that you're going to have to try and pull from all different regions. It's really going to be an eastern Corn Belt versus a western Corn Belt dislocation, but you're also going to have dislocations in the western Corn Belt. You get into some of these synergies in the South Dakota, you know, in that region, you're going to run into the same issue. So from a producer standpoint, that means there's going to be opportunities to watch the basis, get some good pushes as you go through the year, but you have to have some risk management on to take advantage of those, because it may not be, it may be in the cash market and the basis versus the board. We talk the futures market a lot, but it all comes back down to the cash market and the basis.
Okay. Don, I've got one final question here as we talk about corn acres. We heard Undersecretary Bill Northey report this week that he's expecting as many as 10 million prevent plant acres. So I've got a twofold question for you. One, what do you think the acreage breakdown will be for that approximate 10 million prevent plant acres? And do you think that that number is on the money or too high, too low?
Well, when you look at it, you know what he said, if you stop and look at it in the last report, the overall planted acres from last year were actually down 10.4 million acres. So we've lost a lot of acres. Where did they go? 4.6 million came out of soybeans, 1.1 million came out of corn. And, you know, realistically, you're probably, history shows that you don't drop these acres, those big numbers going into the final, more like 2 to 3 million on corn, I would say, an extra, maybe another 2 million on soybeans. So there's another 4 or 5 million. So there you go. Those are the acres, Delaney. So that's why I think what he was talking, 10 million prevent plant acres, not that far off when you add everything up.
And is that what you're expecting to see, or do you think we'll see something a little higher than that?
No, I think that's probably what we have dialed in. But not just corn prevent plant acres, it's prevent plant acres on total crops, I think, is what you're really looking at, you know, counting the soybeans and everything else.
Okay. Don, as I mentioned, it was 4th of July. You're looking very patriotic today. We've got a question specifically related to the 4th of July date. We've got Gary Bruns from Wilton, Iowa, sent in a question. He said, the saying goes that how the markets close the Friday before the 4th compared to the Friday after the 4th will set the prices for the fall. So how high will fall prices go, in your professional opinion?
Well, one, that's a good question. Number two, I think when you look at it, history's really been distorted this year because the planting is way late, way off. So I would throw off some of those things. But I think the thing that we do know, and I think you can look at this very close, is we're probably in a short crop year. In a short crop year, what happens traditionally is you put your highs in the fall, not in the, you know, usually you're putting your lows in the fall, simply because as you start harvest, you find out the yields really aren't there. Odds are that's what happens this year. But seasonally, right now, and you can see what's happened is the market's really, really struggling. Rallies, you know, can't really hold. And that's because the seasonalities is one of the biggest negative seasonalities of the year. From now until actually about the 1st of October on soybeans, and from now until about the middle of August on corn, you've got wheat harvest coming at you, you know, record yields down there. You've got Brazil corn harvest is about 35% done. You've got wheat coming at you from Europe and from Russia and the Ukraine. So what I'm saying is there's just a lot of grain coming at you in the market. And remember, there's no shortage of old crop. The issue is domestic, and it's out into a new crop. And then remember, next year, probably the acres bounce back pretty big on corn. So you have to keep that in mind. So seasonalities, I would say, are distorted, but seasonality's probably coming into play here again.
Okay. Don, let's talk about the July 11th report. When it comes to the soybean markets in particular, do you see USDA adjusting the yield on next week's report?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because I tell you what, there's going to be some big adjustments. Number one, remember, they're going to take the corn, the bean acres down 4.6 million. So that's what, 225 million off of a billion bushels. So instantly you're down to, you know, a lower figure. then they're probably going to take the yield down because the crop ratings are 54% good to excellent. Historically, that five-year average is 68. So to have trend line yields probably doesn't make sense. They're probably going to take the yield down one bushel or two bushels an acre instantly. I don't know if they're going to do anything on corn. But instantly, rather than a billion carryout, you're talking about a carryout probably 600 to 700 million. So not that that's a bullish figure, but the crop's getting smaller, not bigger.
Yeah, that's not necessarily bullish, but it sounds like we're starting to move back towards that direction. Don, what do you expect then to see as an immediate reaction to that report, assuming all those factors line up?
Well, I think we're going to see in a trading range because they're, the carryout's big enough to go past 920, 930 on November bean's going to be very hard. To take the market anytime soon under 840 to 860 is probably hard because you have to just a huge respect for what can happen with the lateness of this crop. That's probably the biggest single thing that we have going forward. Now, I know we have pollination in corn and we have pod filling in soybeans, but realistically, it's going to be tough. We're going to have to beat Mother Nature. And, you know, you're going to have some of this corn that is not going to reach black layer stage until the third week of October. Think about it, almost the first of November. I mean, is that possible? I mean, it's, I think as you get into August, you'll hear a big debate on that.
Okay. We'll continue that in Market Plus. And we've got to talk about the live cattle and feeder cattle markets. There's seeming to be a premium built in the live cattle markets. You look at the spreads, you look at what's going on in the later deferred contracts. Why is this happening? Why is this being factored in now?
Well, you know, I think when you look at the cattle had a good trade here to end the week. It, you know, we're in an uptrend. The cash market traded basically higher this week. We had some 113.50 in the corn belt, and, you know, that was a good sign. But, you know, the futures market just got too low, Delaney. The typical seasonal top to the bottom would have put, you know, we had about 129, 130 for the top in the spring cash cattle. That means the low should be around 109 in that area for a summer low. And we took August futures down to almost 103 at one time, close at 107. So I think we just got too low. Even the government says the first quarter of next year, we're supposed to have cash cattle at 125. So even tonight, we close at 116. So looks like there's a little more upside. The cattle are trying to break to the upside. We'll see if they do or not, but it's all up to the demand.
And in the feeder cattle markets, have we put in a low there? And are we starting to break out of this range, or do you expect us to continue doing some range bound here in August feeders?
Well, the feeder cattle are just sitting down at the bottom end of the range. They followed the fat cattle down, but it's all about the corn market. It's all about the inputs. It's all about the break evens on cattle going forward. If you can get the back months to move up, in the cattle, cash, live cattle. And if you can get the corn to come back down a bit, I think feeders will find some support.
Okay. Don, your quick thoughts here. How much lower are we going to head in the lean hog markets, or do we have support at these levels?
Supplies are just playing too big. I mean, our slaughter was 6.5% over a year ago. Our production 10% over a year ago last week. Too big. Without China, without Asia coming at the market with African swine fever, I think you have to be afraid fall hogs go to $50. But that can change if we get some demand.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you a little bit more about that in Market Plus. Don Rose, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market, but we will keep this conversation going on Market Plus, where we'll answer more of your questions. You can find it on our website at markettomarket.org. When you subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll get notified when the program and Market Plus are online. Find us at Market to Market. Join us again next week when we'll explore how the next generation is learning the art of the hedge. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Delaney Howell. Have a great week.